Ebenezer, it is so grand to be back with you. The Lord has been good. I'm telling you, through all we've been through, we made it. Can you just lift up those hands? And if you're on the chat after you lift those hands, can you put one of those emoticons, those hands that kind of go up like that? I know you might have to look for it. Some of you already know where it is. Could you just put a whole bunch of there? I'm telling you, we made it. God allowed us to get together one more time. And I just want to give you a time and just to give him some praise and some thanksgiving. I'm telling you, today you're getting back into Renew Our Mind a little later, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is amazing. Anybody know him? He is amazing. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for just all you do as an online community, as you are sharing this broadcast, these scriptures with other people, and it's actually growing. And I want to encourage you to continue to share that. It's not so that we can get a whole bunch of subscribers or anything like that. It's just that we want the gospel to go forth, and this has been a way that we can get out of Ebenezer, we can get out of North Carolina, we can connect with others that they can get a consistent teaching to understand who God is. We thank you for being our first time visitor or second time visitor, and go to our website ebcnc.com, and you can get more information. Most importantly, that we want you to be saved and know who Jesus is. On our website, we've got a lot of virtual things that are going on, specifically Bible studies. On Monday, we have Monday Manna, where we have preaching, teaching that comes. It's been a blessing to so many. On Tuesdays, we have Noonday Bible Study at noonday. We're there, and we're lifting up the Word of God. And then on Wednesdays, we have Bible study. We're going through the entirety of the book of Luke, and we're just going line upon line, precept upon precept. Actually, on our Tuesdays, we're going through the book of Genesis. I haven't really talked much about this, but I think I'm going to continue through Genesis, and I'm going to pick out sections of Genesis, and we're just going to walk through, and we're going to be teaching on that. So we're going to be Genesis, Book of Luke on Wednesdays. And then in person, in Ebenezer, we have a 6 o'clock time that we come together in the edifice, and we actually go through the book of 1 John. So we've got Genesis on one day, and we've got the book of Luke on another day, and we've got 1 John, and we're almost finished with that teaching. We're getting ready to go into another book. So the Lord is blessing us to just grow together. Of course, we've got our online ministries on Sunday, 8:45 in person, 10 o'clock online, and then we've got 10:45 in person. So much. There is no excuse for us not to grow in the Lord and become more like him. Finally, thank you as always for your giving. You've been a blessing. God loves a cheerful giver. Your giving is changing lives, not just in Ebenezer, but abroad. We've been able to do a lot of things. We were actually supporting a particular ministry where young people are coming in and their lives are being changed, learning how to do certain things and to grow in their calling in life and to provide for their families. Just training. Some of us have training that we don't realize how blessed we were that our parents could pour into us. There are others that didn't get that training, resume training, you know, how to actually do well when you're interviewed. Those are some skills. So Ebenezer is able to pour into those types of ministries also. And we thank you for purposing in your heart to give. Again, God loves a cheerful giver. And we've all been blessed how God has done and what he's done in our lives. Any blessed people out there? I was just thinking about all that he's done and how much he's blessed me. Man, I could shout all day for his grace. And I know there's some of you are going, you know what, Pastor? You're not the only one. He has blessed me also. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God, where we're going. Again, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. So I want you to get ready as we continue to renew our mind. We'll see you soon.
Beginning with the first verse, and I'm in the old King James. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My buckle and the horns of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word.
Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs we bear.
Just put amen in the chat. It is just so wonderful to be alive. I don't know what you've gone through in the last 7 days or so, but it's been challenging for a lot of people. And just to be able to get here to a time of fellowship and worship is wonderful when we think about how Christ orders our steps and he loves us tremendously. What we're getting back into, renew our mind, how we learn. And I pray as we have been going through this subject matter, that you've been encouraged, that you can know that the Lord is walking with us. And we're going to take that to another level today, just thinking about the tools God used, even in our lives, the believers. I want us to go back to that memory scripture. I know you're saying, I got it, Pastor, I got it. But I'm telling you, this is so important to get past just our mind, but get into our hearts and spirits. So wherever you are, I want you to focus in with me to Romans chapter 12 and that second verse. If you read it with me, where you're sitting in your lazy board chairs or standing, or maybe you're on a break at your lunch at this point. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that good? Well, I'm ready to get on this journey as we jump into our new portion of Scripture today. Let's go to John 14 and 26. John 14 and 26. It reads, "But the Helper," can you put in that chat, "Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Today's title that we're going to be dealing with, Holy Spirit Teacher. Holy Spirit Teacher. Would you go in a word of prayer with me? Father, I just thank you so much. I'm just delighted to be saved. Thank you for using men and women to connect one with another, to encourage one another, the body of Christ. Lord, I just pray for those who may be looking in and listening that aren't saved, that today be their day. Lord, this world is getting so challenging and so dark and so mean. And so I pray that more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you, that you can come back quickly and take your children home. Lord, let them know if they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead. You said they would be saved. Lord, I pray that they experience that magnanimous grace within their lives. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Just move me out of the way. And Holy Spirit, we're talking about you. So we welcome you as our teacher, our guide. Lead us into all truth. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get into this section, it's about AD 33. Much has happened to get to this 14th chapter that we're going in and talking about Holy Spirit Teacher. Jesus has actually had to rebuke some of his disciples. He's also had to let them know that, you know, it's getting imminent, that soon he will have to go to a cross. For the most part, they don't understand. And so as we go into this chapter is actually a chapter of encouragement to them, to let them know that even though Jesus has to go away, he's going to leave a gift, and that gift is the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, Jesus had the Holy Spirit because he is the God manifested in the flesh, but he had the Holy Spirit, that part of the Trinity, without limitation, because he is unified with this Godhead, this body. And so now he's telling the disciples that, hey, I'm going to help you to renew your mind if you will submit to me. Let's jump into this section, John 14 and 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I want to read that again because it's short, concise, but very powerful. If you love me, keep my commandments. Our first point, manifesting love. Yes, manifesting love. Now, the love defined here is the agape love. Agape love says, I love you in spite of what you do to me. This is a God type of love. Many people know Eros love, all those other different types of love, which really could be translated to lust. But this agape love, you can only get this and experience this through God. Jesus had actually earlier within the chapter summed up what the greatest commandment was. We see it from Matthew's perspective in Matthew 22:34. "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in all the law?'" This is so wonderful. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." In the chat, could you walk this through with me? Love the Lord your God with your heart. Just type heart, and then soul, and then mind. Because this really encompasses this commandment, this love for God, this agape that we're talking about. Verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment." It says, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Man, that's tough. That's challenging. Only God can help us to do that. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our love for Christ is really hinged on this. And we've been studying within our Thursday Bible study in person at 6 o'clock. We've been studying 1 John, and 1 John has been challenging as I've had to go over these scriptures. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." Yes, we love him because he first loved us. We're talking about manifesting love. God reached out to us. We didn't deserve it. We were conceived in iniquity. But God says, "I'm going to hug you. I'm going to show you my love via my son in spite of what you've done." That's some shout in there. There ought to be some amen, some hallelujah, because all of us know that we deserve death. All of us know that we deserve to live eternity in hell. But I'm telling you, when you know that you're saved, when you know that you know that you know that Christ lives within you, we're talking about that Holy Spirit teacher. Our growth and renewal, renewing our mind, is built that we are saved and that we want God more in our lives, and we want to submit to him, and we know him as a deliverer, and we know him as one who guides us into all truth. Look at this, John 14:16, Holy Spirit teacher. It reads, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." I know you typed it earlier, just put helper down there, "that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." His next point, a personal GPS. Yes, a personal GPS. Now, you got to get the picture. And oftentimes when you go to the Gospels, man, we get a lot of parables, a lot of teachings, powerful there. But I want you to get the background, that the disciples are kind of sitting around. Some may have stood up at this point. They were discouraged from the other chapters, the other teachings, and the things that they had gone through. But now they're sitting there, they're taking it in. And Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I've got to go away. You're not going to be like an orphan." Interesting. My prayers on daily. I pray for those who don't have a mom or dad. Actually, the scriptures tell us to pray for those who really don't have guardians over them in that sense that they know. And Jesus said, "I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm not going to leave you, you know, just having to fight your way through life, but I'm going to give you someone, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in you, a personal GPS." I love GPS. The technology is amazing to me, that anywhere that you want to go, you can put in that address, and for the most part, it'll get you there. It'll tell you go left, right. If you get lost and you pass the exit that you were supposed to turn, it will navigate or tell you to turn around. It's amazing. And God says, "I'm going to give you that personal GPS to dwell within you." Notice again that John 14:16, that second part, "And he will give you another helper." And so Jesus was their helper. He was there, man, walking with them, and they would be afraid, and he would say, "Be not afraid," and he would multiply fish and bread. He was the helper. He would pull Peter back in and encourage John, all of those things he was doing. He was the helper. But he says, "I'm going to give you another helper." Notice that's capitalized, because it is God. I've got to go away. I'm 100% man and 100% God. I'm going to go. I've got to go to Calvary for you. But when I go away, when that's all done and I ascend back up to heaven, I'm going to leave you myself. I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. This Holy Spirit in the Greek is a word I often talk about, parakletos. Parakletos, one called alongside to help, or it can also be translated as advocate. Could you put that in the chat? Advocate. As you're saying, say advocate. It's important. Notice this advocate is actually talked about in 1 John 2:1. So much in 1 John as we're thinking about this Holy Spirit teacher. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." Very powerful. "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate." There it is. Notice it's capitalized, "with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Now, this is so wonderful as we think about the Holy Spirit teaching, because when we go back to that John 14:16, look at that last part. It says that he may abide with you forever. Yes, this gift that God has given the believer will abide with us. It enables us to renew our mind. It enables us to learn of God. It enables us to stay on track, not to go to the left or to the right or to get into conspiracies or any of that sort or to believe lies. It enables us to stay close to the will of God, to stay in the will of God. Notice as we think about this, the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament, he would set upon prophets. He would set upon kings. He would dwell with them for periods of time because Jesus had not come. But in the New Testament, this is wonderful. He dwells within the believer. There ought to be some shouts, some thanksgiving. He is on the inside of the believer. But notice, oftentimes in the New Testament, depending on your background, Pentecostal background, Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever, the Holy Spirit has been really lifted up as more of an emotional experience. Jesus is not teaching that here. He's saying the Holy Spirit is with us on a daily basis, and he moves us, and he speaks to us, and he gives us direction on a daily basis. That's some good news that I just don't get the Holy Spirit on Sunday, but that same Holy Spirit wants to walk with us every day. Now we can grieve him, and we can quench the Spirit. Notice Ephesians 4:30 brings this out, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we don't recognize the Holy Spirit teacher in renewing our mind, we actually grieve him. And you can put in the chat, grieve, wherever you're sitting at, just say grieve. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's been so often that we can easily go astray, but we have to slow down, stay in the Word of God. We've got to abide in him as he abides in us. Look as Jesus continued to build on this in John 4:19. He says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I love this point. The believer is connected. Yes, the believer is connected. I just had a picture pop in my mind. You know, when you plug up stuff in your house, it seems that we're living in a world of electricity, at least here within the United States. Let me limit that because there are other places around the United States that don't have easy flow of electricity. But when we plug in things, man, lights can come on, you know, chargers can come on our phones. Some of you always, you're carrying around a charger or a battery pack because you got to plug it in, because eventually, no matter how big your battery is, you got to get connected. And I want you to know the believer is connected. We have a continual power source. That's good news. Jesus has promised us that when we are in the Holy Spirit and recognize that the Holy Spirit teacher, that we're entangled with him. Yeah, we're like that entwined cord and we're all tied up. This is so important that the Holy Spirit is on the inside and wants to be recognized in such manner. When we submit to his wills, our minds become renewed. I want to say that again. When we submit to his will, our mind becomes renewed and we become more teachable. Can you put that? It's a longer word, teachable, in the chat. Teachable. This is so important because some people say that they're Christians, and I believe that they're Christians, but they've come to a point of not having teachability. They just have gotten caught up in their ways. This is the way that we've always done it, in their mindset. And that really tells me that you're not in the Word, because when you get in the Word and you start reading the Word and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, I'm telling you, you realize that we should always be in a teachable moment. I love this part of the scripture in John 4:19, that second part. It said, because I live, you will also live. Isn't that good news? Jesus said, you know what? I'm giving you this Holy Spirit. He's going to dwell in you. I've already told you I'm going to have to go to the cross. I'm going to have to die, but I'm going to get up on the third day with all power. But I want you to know, because I live, because I've given you this gift, this living life on you, you are also going to live. Bill and Gloria Gaither in 1971, I believe, they brought this song. And I just want to get that chorus part. They said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Is there any amens, witnesses out there? Look at John 14:21, Holy Spirit teacher. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself
to him. John 14:22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Here's a point, very short but powerful. Are you with me? Keep. Yes, keep. Can you put it in the chat? K-E-E-P. Keep, keep. This is critical here because in this, notice when we talk about that John 4:21, that first part, it says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. So this indicates you can have his commandments. We talked about what the summary of that commandments is and not actually keep it. Can I say that? You can have it, but not actually keep it. Anybody know that? That there are a lot of people that got it. They can quote you scriptures. They can have the embodiment of the word of God, the Bible in scriptures, but they don't actually keep it. So we must define what keep is. In the Greek, it's defined it more as to watch, to observe, to guard, to preserve, protect, and obey. Can I read that again? To watch, observe, guard, preserve, protect, and obey. Man, that kind of has a rhythmic to it. It's simply because it's powerful. We want to watch. We got to watch what God has given us, that what he's deposited on the inside. We got to observe it. And because the enemy comes in quickly to steal it away, I'm talking about Holy Spirit teacher. You know what? We got to guard that, and we've got to preserve that, what he's given us. We got to protect it, and we've got to obey, submitting to that. As God is keeping us, he wants us to keep his word, to keep his commandments. Holy Spirit teacher, Paul strongly encourages Timothy in this manner. Look at this, 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, by professing, if some have strayed concerning the faith, grace be with you. Amen. You got to guard. You got to fight. And I ask you the question, as we're talking about renewing our mind and the Holy Spirit teaching, are you guarding it? Are you protecting that which God has deposited on the inside? The enemy is hitting hard, man. He's putting some punches. The other day I was on YouTube, and I was looking at Mike Tyson and the knockouts that he did. I was just amazed. I mean, there were some guys that he would hit, and all of a sudden they would just get frozen in midair and just fall down. They're knocked out. But I got interested. I said, how many times has Mike been knocked out? And you know what? There are a few times that some people got him also. And so, and there was reason he didn't guard himself. He had become so confident, and he didn't take care of himself the way should, and someone sneaked in and got a strong punch at him. And that's the way we live in our lives. We got to guard. We got to keep our guards up, and we can say, you know, devil, give me your best shot, but we're ready for it. But so many of us have become lackadaisical. So many have become lazy within our attitudes and our thoughts. We don't read our Bible the way we should. We don't worship. We don't praise him the way we should. And consequently, we're not renewing our mind. Notice, as we take this to another level, John 14:24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Here's a point. Please get this one. Love equals commitment. Yes, love equals commitment. If I got some quick typers, can you just put that in the chat? Wherever you're sitting, just say love equals commitment. Commitment. Now this love that we're talking about, again, this agape love, this is an encompassing love. This is a love that reaches past who we are, that God gives us. If we have that love, really, we show forth commitment. If we truly love God, we will be committed to the Holy Spirit teaching. We would be committed to the Holy Spirit in all that he is doing within us, within our lives. The first prerequisite of the abiding in his word or keeping the word, Jesus deals with this in John 14:23, midway in there. It says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Yeah, we've got to keep that word. We've got to protect. We've got to obey. We got to fight for that. And then that second part, we will, it says, come to him him and make our home with him. Isn't that good that God says, you know what, you're keeping it, you're committing, love equals commitment, you're committing to me, we're walking together, we're going to come and I'm going to be in your home, you're going to be in my home. And when we don't keep this home clean, we grieve him, as we taught a little earlier. We cause him to be sad because he has given us so much. I remember, and I've taught on this before, at least given this example, when I was young. It was probably as a teenager more so. My parents, specifically my dad, would tell me to clean up my room. And just as, you know, you raise kids, you want them, and I've seen some parents that don't even care anymore, but he would tell me to do that. And so in order to get privileges, I'd have to clean my room. And so I had this great idea. To clean up my room, and I'm kind of getting choked up thinking about that. To clean up my room, because it was funny to me, I would just take everything and I would just push it up under the bed. Yes, I did it. You can get mad, say, pray for pastor, whatever. I would push it under my bed, and my room would look clean when he walked in. But you know, after a while, my dad, he was a smart guy, started thinking about it. It was too quick for you to clean up this room. And so he would get down on his knees, and I would just be in fear, concern, all that going on. And he would look under my bed. He would see all of that stuff. And you know what he would do? He would just take it all out and put it back in the room. And so that clean room that I had was no longer clean, but in essence it wasn't clean in the first place because I did not do it properly. And so as we think about the Holy Spirit as our teacher, we've got to realize without him there's no clean house. Without submitting to him, renewing our mind, there's junk all around. It doesn't matter, oftentimes we can clean up for one day of a week, and we can seem like we're so holy and we're so sanctified and we're so close to God, and we do our dance and we become emotional and we sing songs that we don't even believe. But yet when we go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when the enemy hits us on our jobs, when we have to deal with road rage, when our families are falling apart, when sickness hits our body, it seems that we navigate into a different direction. That's why we have to stay close and keep our home clean for the Lord to abide. Holy Spirit teacher, when we refuse to renew our mind, we find ourselves in these situations. This is so important. Theologian Henson, he brings out a compelling thought for the New Testament believer as we are following the Holy Spirit teacher. He says, by the Spirit of God, we can actually know Christ better today than the disciples knew him when he was on earth, when he was here. Those in the front of the crowd were closer to him than those in the rear. But today, by faith, each of us can enjoy the closest of fellowship with him. Isn't that good? That right now, we're with him. Right now, he is sitting with us, and he's inside of us via his Holy Spirit. We are connected with him, and if there are sins in your life, I'm telling you, you need to confess those sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of those sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness so that you can be close to that Holy Spirit teacher. Remember, love equals commitment. Look at John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Can you put in the chat and say, my name, type it, my name. He will teach you all things. There it is. Put teach there. Teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, here's the point. Help is here. That's good news. Help is here. I'm telling you, in life, it is so good to have help. I've had to do some things this week that I needed help. I could not do them by myself. It was too weighty. It was too much to it. Too many parts to it. But when you got help, man, it makes a lot easier. If you got to lift something that's heavy and you got help, somebody to come alongside you that has a similar strength to you and you lift together, guess what? It makes that object a lot lighter. And we've got the Holy Spirit who is all powerful, dwelling on the inside of us. Look at this again, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he has given us, God, Christ, through what he's done on the cross of Calvary, has given us that gift. Look at that second part. He will teach you all things. Isn't that good that we have a teacher? Yes, God uses me as pastor to go through the scriptures, and I may give you understanding of the scripture, but ultimately it's the Holy Spirit that's using me and speaking through me and inside of you and connecting us together to teach you and guide you. And notice that third part, bring to your remembrance all things. Yes, he wants to bring to your remembrance. Now, this indicates in a passive way that you got to put something inside that he can bring back to you. There ought to be some ouches or hallelujahs out there. He wants to bring that which you put in. That's why we read through the scriptures on a daily basis. That's why we go through the entirety of the 66 books on a regular basis, because I want him to be able to pull back to me scriptures that have been deposited. I need him when I'm in some tough situation that the word of God through the Holy Spirit teacher rises up in me. Are there any witnesses in there? I need him when I need to lay hands on the sick. I need him when people are going through struggles and they don't need to hear from me. They need a word from the Lord. I need the Holy Spirit teacher to pull that. That ought to be some hallelujah. Christ would actually later tell his disciples in Luke 12:11. Listen to this. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. Look at this. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour. The book of Romans gives us an example of this in prayer. It says, I love this. Romans 8:26. Lord, I need him. I need him in my prayer life. You need him in your prayer life. Likewise, the Spirit also helped in our weaknesses. Anybody got weaknesses out there? We all have them. We all have our struggles. Yes, we have our good days and we have our bad days, but I'm glad to have the Holy Spirit, a teacher that helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Here it is. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I am so glad for the Holy Spirit teacher working on the inside of us. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. Aren't you glad that he's making intercession for us according to the will of God? The Holy Spirit's teacher, as teacher, his job is to keep us on track, to keep us our minds on him, to renew us and renew our minds as we're submitting to God, to teach us and guide us. As said before, he is within us. This final verse is, look at this, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Somebody say peace. It's important. My peace. Somebody say peace again. You can put it in the chat. I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I guess you can guess that last point. Yeah, it's peace. Peace. Peace is so powerful. I even love the word peace when I think about it. Peace. It just does something on the inside. Does it do it for you? That peace. I tell people that are going through situations, they're trying to figure out which way to go, to really go where the peace is. Go where the peace is. Go where your heart and your soul is settled. You're praying and you're seeking the Lord, and there can be some serious situations that are amongst us, but you got to go where that peace is. Your mind may be troubled and you may be going through emotionally, but there's that deep-rooted peace. That's what we want to go to, where the Holy Spirit teacher rises up in his power and he guides us. When we renew our minds, we walk in this peace. There ought to be somebody that says, shout peace. John 14:27 said, peace I leave with you. This is critical, because God says, I've given you peace. I was thinking about, you know, there's a big focus on billionaires, Elon Musk and others, and people who are celebrities and basketball players, football players, soccer players, so much celebrity. But when I find out and I think about many of those people, they don't have peace. They've gone through multiple relationships, wives, husbands, they're struggling. They've lost so much money, and some have actually ended up bankrupt. This billion-dollar pot, you know, people have been trying to get their numbers. They believe in their numbers are going to come in, but they don't realize, you know, what profit a whole man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. So many have started out with all of this money, and if you study their lives, many of them years later, they actually end up worse than when they got that Powerball money. And I'm telling you, the big thing that you got is you got a peace. You can't purchase peace. Only way you can get peace, you got to get that from God. Look at that last part. It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There ought to be some folks say, Pastor, I need more of that. That's what the Holy Spirit teacher does within us, the renewal of our mind as we submit more. We get that. Paul spoke this to Timothy. He was struggling in his ministry. He was young and he was dealing with people that were getting on his last nerve. Anybody know about that? He was struggling. And because of that, fear began to come in. The peace and confusion was coming in. Paul said, hold up. We got a word from you got the Holy Spirit teacher on the inside. 2 Timothy 1:6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. He said, you got it. You got the Spirit inside of you. It's a gift. Your calling God has put upon you. Verse 7, for God has not given you us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. There ought to be some hallelujahs. That's why we've got to embrace the Holy Spirit teacher. As we sum this up for the day, I am grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I'm so thankful that the only way that we could get that Holy Spirit is for Christ to be beaten and betrayed and to go to the cross of Calvary and to take those nails in his hands and nails in his feet. He carried our griefs and bore our pains. He died on the cross of Calvary. But there ought to be some shouts when they put him in the cold tomb. He stayed there the first day, the second day, but the third day he gets up with all power and all glory. He comes back and he shows signs and wonders that he is God. And he says, you know what, I've got to ascend. He ascends up to heaven and he tells him this thing. He said, I need you to go into an upper room and wait on the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down as cloven tongues of fire and set upon them, and their lives were changed. The Holy Spirit teacher began to dwell in the believer. And that day, Peter stood up and preached the best sermon of his life. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit teacher was on the inside. That day, a transformation took place. That day, thousands were added to the body of Christ because the Holy Spirit teacher stepped up and showed out. That same power dwells within us. Yes. As we renew our mind and we submit to Him, the Holy Spirit is our gift from Christ. If you are saved, you have Him. I'm telling you, meditate on God's Word more and more and be thankful for the Holy Spirit teacher ministering to you. Yes, helping you to hear the ways to go, to hear what you're supposed to do, to go where you need to go. He's there as the believer as we get closer. Remember, we're entangled in Him. If you're listening and you don't have this experience of peace, I implore you right now to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead and said, you will be saved. Man, that's the solution. It says, by grace through faith and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Would you receive that gift today? Just ask, say, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I can't fix this myself. And I'm telling you, He will come in a powerful way. And you will sense that peace like you've never sensed before. It's going to be tough. The enemy's going to come in quick. But I'm telling you, every day gets sweeter and sweeter than the day before. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that the believers have been encouraged, that we've got the Holy Spirit teacher on the inside of us. I thank you that souls have been saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Holy Spirit, thank you for dwelling inside of the believer. Thank you for teaching us and guiding us and leading us in all truth. Thank you for being the Holy Spirit teacher. Father, we praise you for this wonderful plan that you've given mankind. Thank you for not leaving us orphans. Lord, thank you for adding to the body as you see fit, as you use us to go into this dark, contrary world. Thank you that we have you dwelling in us. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the center of my joy. And perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center. of my joy. When I lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my fears. When I'm all alone, your hand is here to hold. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams. The voices of my children, my family, and my home. You're the source and finish of my highest dream. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you are the center of my joy. Jesus, you are the center